When did you start bringing everything downstairs, just so you don't have to go back upstairs again? Joint Relief Institute. Move better, live better without surgery. Call 708-888-0000.
Legal Briefs Now, Chicago trial attorney Karen Conti. Good morning, Karen. Let's talk first about the cross-burning in Grand Park and the person of interest they have who says that what he was doing was protesting against President Trump. So will that get him off the hook for committing a hate crime?
It very well might, and here's why. These hate crimes are really very difficult to prove because you not only have to prove the underlying crime, which in this case would be vandalism, but you also have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the person intended to target a victim primarily because of bias or prejudice, but when it comes to certain protected characteristics, race, color, religion, national origin, sexual orientation, and just targeting someone because they're President Trump, he's not a protected class. So my guess is that while vandalism could certainly be on the table, proving a hate crime, if he really did want to protest his dislike for our president, that would not be a hate crime.
We'll see what happens. He has been taken into custody by Chicago police. An Illinois law allowing assisted suicide in limited circumstances is set to go into effect this September. Tell us about this lawsuit, Karen, that was filed to block the law.
Yeah, several groups got together, and basically they're saying they're protesting the passage of this law, basically saying that it really violates the American with Disabilities Act, and it violates equal protection and due process under our 14th Amendment, meaning that if someone has these horrible disabilities and they're terminal, instead of encouraging suicide, they should be providing them services and home care workers and ongoing medical attention. And with all of the cuts that have been going on with Medicaid and the shortage of home care workers, that people are being forced into deciding to commit suicide rather than to live their lives to the natural end. And so, you know, these are really difficult lawsuits to win because in various states, we've had these laws on the books for many years, some dating back 40 years, and they've been tested, and the courts have largely upheld these assisted suicide laws.
And a lot of news today about the Gilgo Beach killer sentencing coming up later. Any possibility that he'll get anything other than life?
Not a chance. He not only confessed to the crimes he was charged with, seven of them, he confessed to an eighth crime that he wasn't charged with. So, you know, this is really just a matter of routine. The victim impact statements will be read by the families. It'll probably be very, very emotional. Give them a chance to vent, give them a chance to say what they want to say. But certainly this guy will never see the light of day.
Talk a little bit about the parallels between this killer and John Wayne Gacy. Karen, if you don't know, Karen represented Gacy in his death row appeals. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, a lot of parallels, Bob. I mean, they were both family men. They were both married with children. You know, Huerman was an architect. Gacy was a construction guy. They were both successful in their businesses. And they both, you know, just went out at night and did these horrible and horrific things and were undetected for long periods of time. Now, during the Gacy reign of terror, you know, you understood why he didn't get apprehended. We didn't have the cameras everywhere. We didn't have DNA. We didn't have the cross-pollination of the different police departments. But in the case of Huerman, you know, you could just, it was inconceivable that he wasn't caught earlier. And yes, a lot of parallels. And this guy was a danger, and, you know, he would continue to be a danger if let out.
Is it believable that his wife didn't know anything about this?
I do believe that it's believable because Gacy's wives did not know anything about Gacy doing what he did, even though Gacy, as we recall, buried most of his bodies under the house. And so here's the wife living there, sleeping there, making breakfast there, and there are bodies under the house. So, yeah, I do believe they can compartmentalize their goodness and their badness, and I think you can fool a lot of people if you're a serial killer on the level of these two gentlemen.
sentencing later today in that case. And finally, well, here's a sign of the times. ChatGPT being accused of practicing law without a license. So what can the court order in this case?
Well, the court is going to decide whether or not ChatGPT is liable for all of the damages. And in this case, the woman, it's kind of complicated, but she just didn't like what her lawyer told her. So she went to ChatGPT, and ChatGPT told her what she wanted to hear, which was open the case, file motions, do this, all this stuff that had no legal basis at all, running up $300,000 of defense fees. And so this company said, enough, you know, I'm going to not sue this woman because she was just following what her, quote, lawyer told her to do. And so this is going to really test the idea of whether ChatGPT is practicing law without a license.
That's in federal court right here in Chicago. More from Karen Conti Sunday afternoon, 3 until 5 on WGN. Thank you, Karen. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great week.
You too.